With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Nikki Ouellette. Shoppers may have noticed higher beef prices and empty store shelves at grocery stores last month. At the same time, cattle producers saw a significant drop in what they're getting paid. Rachel Kramer has been reporting on the effects of panic buying, allegations of price fixing, and uncertainty in the face of a global economic fallout, and she shares her beef reporting with us now. Rachel, thanks so much for sharing your reporting.
Thanks for having me.
Over the past month, beef prices at grocery stores nationwide have hit historic highs. Tell us what that looks like.
Right. So the box beef cutout, basically the price of all the meat products like sirloin steak, brisket, ground beef, etc., that you get from an individual steer, jumped up 25% from March 12th to the 19th. An economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation says the last time the U.S. experienced nearly the same increase was in 2017, but it was spread out over nearly a month, not 1 week. Prices are starting to come back down, but they're still higher than normal.
That's wild. Did the price jump slow down grocery store shoppers?
Well, no. Americans bought about 77% more meat in mid-March than previous years. I talked to Bill Kennedy, the meat coordinator for Town and Country Foods, which has grocery stores in Bozeman, Belgrade, and Livingston. He says TNC absorbed about two-thirds of the price increase on meat to soften the cost for customers. He says shoppers bought double the amount of ground beef and chicken breasts than they normally buy this time of year.
We can't keep up. You know, I told my guys one day, it's like, we're just done. We can't do anymore.
Experts say the U.S. doesn't have a food shortage right now. The empty shelves people have seen are the effect of shoppers buying more than they need and stores struggling to keep up. Beef production during the last week of March was actually about 14% higher than the same time a year ago.
That's interesting. So you would think that ranchers and feed yards would be benefiting from the higher retail prices and the higher demand, but prices for cattle actually dropped about 30% in March. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are frustrated that there seems to be this mismatch. Groups like the Montana Stock Growers Association, Montana Farm Bureau, and Montana Farmers Union, along with Montana's Attorney General Tim Fox and Senators John Tester and Steve Daines, are urging the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Department of Justice to investigate possible market manipulation and a breach of antitrust laws. Here's Walter Schweitzer, president of the Montana Farmers Union.
In the last month, coronavirus put a microscope on the livestock cattle market, and it's broken.
Four multinational companies, Tyson Foods, JBS, Cargill, and National Beef Packing, control 80% of all the cattle slaughtered in the U.S. Before COVID-19, the beef packers already faced litigation and a Department of Agriculture investigation for alleged collusion, price manipulation, restrictions of competition, and other unfair practices. The USDA's investigation is still ongoing. Nicole Rolfe is the Director of National Affairs with the Montana Farm Bureau Federation.
Companies are subject to antitrust laws, and we hope that agencies like the USDA will go to bat for, you know, Montana farmers and American farmers and ranchers, make sure that all players in these markets are playing by the rules.
Secretary of Ag Sonny Perdue said on Twitter 2 weeks ago that the agency is, quote, paying special attention to the difference in prices from the farm gate to the grocery shelf.
So it sounds like this could be intentional. Are there other possible explanations for the high beef prices and low cattle prices?
Michael Neveu, a Farm Bureau economist, thinks it has more to do with cattle futures on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
What's a cattle future?
Basically, someone offers a price now for cattle that will be sent to a feed yard or packing plant later. Neveu says people expect a recession is going to hit a couple months down the road, which means people won't buy as much beef because it's considered more of a luxury item. So cattle futures are lower now, even though current demand and retail values are high.
It doesn't always work the way people think it should. And I think that's a lot of frustration for a lot of producers sometimes, because it does have a direct impact on their bottom line.
Neveu says something else that's causing uncertainty with the beef market are isolated cases of meatpacking plants shutting down for a few weeks or running below capacity because of COVID-19. The JBS meatpacking plant in Greeley, Colorado is one of the largest in the country with more than 4,000 employees. But after reports of workers testing positive for the coronavirus, hundreds of employees stayed home last week.
How long are these packing plants going to be continue to run if they keep having workers not able to show up either because they get sick, they have kids who are forced to stay home from school and they have nowhere to take them, so they can't leave their kids alone and go to work. It's a lot of this going on. It's just created just this mountain of uncertainty that's really hard for the markets to work through right now.
The U.S. beef market has seen big fluctuations in the past decade, but the impact of COVID-19 has pushed the industry onto a thrill level 5 roller coaster with no end in sight.
Oh my goodness, that sounds so dire. What are Montana ranchers saying about this?
Wyatt Donald is part of a multi-generational, family-owned cow-calf and stocker operation in Melville, north of Big Timber. Like many ranchers in Montana, the Donald family sells their weaned cattle in the fall, so COVID-19 isn't affecting his family's operation yet, but...
We anticipate it to. We don't obviously know what cattle prices are going to be in September, but there's just so many really crazy things going on right now.
Donald says they can't control global pandemic or cattle prices, so they're trying to focus on what's in front of them, the upcoming calving season, the health of their rangelands, the relationships they have with vendors and other people in the supply chain, and succession planning.
I was just talking to my brother today, and we were saying that it's nice working with livestock because it just keeps going. You know, they need to be moved, or, you know, some of them need to be fed every day, and that allows us some sense of normalcy, and where, you know, a lot of other people, they're just totally turned upside down, and our hearts go out to those people.
Well, Rachel, thank you for sharing your reporting with us.
Thanks, Nikki.